Praise the Lord. I'm so glad you're all in the house of the Lord tonight. But you know, I'm also sad about the church because the church is dying. I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about the church worldwide. The church is slowly dying and going straight to hell, just like God said it is. I've never read such darkness that the church is doing, the things they're doing in churches now, and how people are acting. People have no fear of God whatsoever. I just can't fathom. This has been bothering me all day. I just cannot fathom how you can come and sit in the house of God year after year after year and still stay in your sin, and then even think of other ways to do this sin, try to justify what you're doing. Then we get up and we pray. We sing praises to what? To who? I really think that this church, I don't preach in other churches, this church needs to decide, am I going to follow God or am I not? And if you're not, then you need to just go and just enjoy yourself in the world, because you're just making everybody around you miserable. And I'm sorry to say this at the beginning, but this has just been really, really bothering me. And I read two other pastors today that really is bothering them too, that how the church is growing so dark. And only the true churches are the ones that are being come against and criticized. The ones that are dark, everybody thinks they're wonderful. But, you know, it's up to you what you do, whether you serve God or not. But I'm really tired of coming into a house of God with dark Christians. I think we all need to carry the light of God, so that when people do come to the door, they do get delivered.
Father, we just thank you right now and give you all honor and glory. We just thank you, God, for your anointing that's on this teaching. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing that's already here. And we just give you all praise, honor, and glory for your holy angels that are ministering to your people throughout this sanctuary. We cover each and every person here in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, God, that your word of truth is going to go through and penetrate the hearts of your people. And we just thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I really tried several different times to put together different teachings, and it just wasn't happening. And I kept going back to this, so I have to assume that God really wants this taught. It's something we kind of already know, but it's something we're all missing the mark on, and I think that's why it's coming back up as many times as Pastor Barbara's taught us on this, you know, type of theme. It's coming up again. Just to review, last week, for those of you who weren't here, we learned about heart parts. And I just want to briefly go into that, refresh our memory, and it's going to transition into what we're going to learn about this week, which is mindsets and expectations. Now, last week, we learned about heart parts and what a large role they play in our spiritual walk. What is a heart part? A heart part is literally a replica of the person's whole heart, but has been fragmented and broken because of pain and trauma. Therefore, because of pain, this piece of the heart is broken off and holds on to that pain and is unable to function in a normal way. These broken heart pieces can still influence us, can steer our emotions and decisions, and can affect our thoughts and relationships with others. Heart parts, however, contain more than thoughts, feelings, and decisions. Heart parts contain the very essence of our personality, our character, our nature, mindsets, and is deeply intertwined in our gifts, talents, and abilities. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is extremely sick. Who can understand it fully and know its secret motives?" Something this deep and powerful that influences our very character and nature and holds deep secrets about our motives and intentions that we are not even aware of is truly something to consider when it comes to deliverance and healing. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences." So we're told above everything else, we have to guard our heart, and that our heart is actually the most deceitful above all things, and it is very sick. This has given us a picture of how serious this is and how easy it is for it to become sick and to become fragmented and broken. The heart is the centerpiece, and our deliverance and freedom relies heavily upon its condition. What we believe and feel in our heart steers the direction of our deliverance and freedom, as well as every consequence in our life. It is possible for a person to have thousands and perhaps even tens of thousands of broken heart parts. Each heart part has its own set of emotions, beliefs, feelings, choices, wills, characteristics, habits, etc. And each part can be possessed by and held captive by many demons. We're starting to see a large picture of how serious this issue is in our spiritual walk. Now, each individual heart part can harbor soul invaders, and each heart part can have individual soul ties. So you're not just dealing with yourself as a whole. You have to be dealing with each broken part of yourself individually as well. They can individually be influenced by invading emotions to the extent that their problems are compounded worse than what they already are. Now, transitioning into what we're going to learn about this week, which is our mindsets and our expectations, the power of thought. This week, I want to teach about an important topic that is coming up a lot in deliverance lately. We are seeing another wave of the power of thoughts within the mind. Our thought life can be very beneficial to our spiritual walk and well-being, or it can be destructive in nature to ourselves and others. There are many more aspects to bondage than just demons. As we have learned in the prior weeks, how soul invaders and heart parts affect our spiritual walk. In recent deliverance sessions, we are seeing an increase in mindsets that have been built up and established over the course of that person's lifetime, directly affecting their spiritual walk. In other words, we are seeing people in bondage to their own faulty thinking. A mindset is a pattern of thinking that has been formed over time. It is a template or a method of thinking. Mindsets are vulnerable and are highly adaptive based on our experiences and are directly affected by our thought life and emotions. In other words, the way we think and the things we believe can be heavily influenced and swayed based on our experiences and how we manage our emotions. Harmful mindsets can bind and hinder us, and can also tie God's hands where he cannot do as he desires until that person recognizes the destructive nature of that mindset and changes it. This is the one part of deliverance and exorcism that can snag the entire work that God is trying to do, because God will not violate your gift of choice and free will. In other words, God does all the work of removing demons, healing pain, removing soul invaders, restoring heart parts, but it is you and I that must change mindsets and thinking patterns. And this is one of the main reasons that people backslide into their old bondage after they have had deliverance and freedom. God does the work of setting that person free, but then it's now that person's responsibility to walk out that freedom and do daily work to change their behaviors, their habits, and their desires. And that's exactly what we're seeing here, is people get set free and they're praising the Lord and hallelujah and all that stuff, but then they go right back into the same repetitive habits and routines that led them into that bondage in the first place. And they're getting mad at God, saying he didn't do his work properly. If a person does not change their outlook and perspective on life, change their habits and desires, they will inevitably fall back into that old sin nature and go right back into bondage. And everyone is demanding God to do this work of changing thought patterns and habits, but God won't do it. And I'll tell you why he won't do it, because the act of going into someone's mind and changing how they think is an act of witchcraft. So people are essentially asking God to perform witchcraft to make them a better person, and he's not going to do that. We have to make the decision to change the way that we think. That's the work that we have to do that God's talking about. And the only way by which this change can take place is that person making a choice of their own free will to line up their thinking with the Word of God. Then God can honor the first step by ushering in His Holy Spirit to do a renewing and transformational work in the mind of that person. But God's waiting for us to take that first step, to make a commitment. Yep, I recognize that my patterns, my habits are not right. And I'm willing to make the daily committed choice to change that. And once God sees that, His Holy Spirit will come in and help you to make those changes in your mind. That doesn't mean sit back and let the Holy Spirit do all the work, because we are working with God, inviting Him into each step and decision we make to change our ways. Too many people throw their hands up in the air and say, "Yep, I give it to you, God," but then it stops right there, and they're expecting God to magically do all the work. It doesn't work like that. Now, the power of our thoughts and beliefs can make or break a deliverance. An example. We worked on a couple that came in for an exorcism, and when I had asked them if they had ever had any type of deliverance or exorcism before, they were startled at the word exorcism. They looked hesitant and resistant and explained that the person who referred them had said we would simply pray over them. Now, there was a false expectation already grounded within their thought life. And when they learned that this was an exorcism session, they became slightly resistant. I had to explain what God wants to do and how exorcisms work and try to penetrate that mental stronghold after we had opened up in prayer. See, they came in with an expectation, thinking, well, this is how this is going to go. But then when we can't just bow down to their whim, we have to tell them, well, this is what God wants to do. And this is our purpose and our function here. So upon explaining that, we're already up against a stronghold, a thinking pattern that they've developed, an expectation that they have. And we have to work the truth in there so that God can actually set them free. I tried to be careful not to cause them to shut down completely because I knew God wanted to do something with them. They relaxed as I began to address and explain different broken heart parts, pains from the past, and as they saw God addressing issues in their life, they grew more comfortable. At this point, we could then address the demonic spirits and command them to come out of the person. Those demons weren't going to go anywhere until they gained some measure of trust or some level of comfortability, and then we could access the demons. Because of their thoughts and expectations, if I had just come out commanding demons to leave and becoming aggressive with them, they would have shut down and walked out. While God did great works for them by casting out demons and healing inward parts, it wasn't but a few days later that I heard from them again. In summation, the one person was upset that their partner was not changed completely overnight. I had to explain that deliverance is a process, and while God does move heaven and earth for us, it boils down to our choice and free will, what we do with what God has done for us. You can be totally set free and still make bad choices and lose your freedom. Until a person is ready to change, they won't. Now, the root of the problem with this couple was that they had thoughts and expectations that did not line up with God's thoughts and expectations for them in their situation. The enemy has built strongholds in the mind and thought life that rule over their soul and cause chaos, confusion, torment, and division. The one partner was more or less told to be at the session, and therefore some of the works didn't stick and hold to their heart. They're pretty much told, you're going to be here at this session whether you like it or not. And they're just showing up just because they have to show up. If your heart's not in it, it's not going to stick. And too often the thoughts we think and the things we believe bind us right up into captivity. The Word of God tells us to take every thought captive in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The scripture is telling us essentially to cast down arguments, which is a conflict of thoughts, and anything, including mindsets and beliefs, that pretend to know better than God does. Interestingly enough, it is telling us to bring these mindsets, expectations, and thoughts into captivity to Christ. Now, Jesus is also the truth. So he is the fullness and the embodiment of truth. Therefore, we are to forcefully capture and bring these mindsets, thoughts, and expectations to obedience to the truth, which is Christ. The word doesn't tell us to be taken captive by our thoughts, but unfortunately, that is what is happening to most people in bondage. And what's happening right now is you have so many people that believe they're okay and they're not. And you have so many people that think they're actually serving God, but they're really serving themselves. And that's why the body of Christ is being flushed down the toilet right now. And I agree with what Pastor Barber said 1,000% in the opening. This is exactly what's going on. People are not taking God seriously. They don't even have a fear of God. They're just playing humdrum church every Sunday, and their heart's not in it. And they're in for a rude awakening. Now, militant thinking. Contrary to those who wish to sterilize the Bible of its military images, the context of this scripture, and many others, is symbolic of military metaphors. By the time Paul wrote 2 Corinthians, the enemies of the gospel had already figured out the best way to attack the gospel was to undermine the authority of God's spokesman. Paul's letter to the Corinthians was in part a rebuttal to his opponent's arguments. Paul was explaining that the enemy is not people, but the arguments brought forth by spiritual forces at work in them. So that, in other words, the demons are inside the people, creating arguments and suggestions contrary to God, and that's what we're fighting. It's not the person, it's the demons in the person. Now, Paul spoke of arguments to be undermined and destroyed that oppose the knowledge of God. Paul faced a multitude of false accusations and assertions, including that he was not a true apostle. Paul used scripturally empowered reasoning to tear down barriers set up against the truth. But Paul didn't stop with the task of demolishing falsehood. His goal was to take every thought captive to obey Christ. The original Greek for the word captive here literally means to hold as a prisoner at sword point. Every thought that is in rebellion to God must be made prisoner of war and be made to submit to the authority of Christ. The battle for the hearts and minds of men will be won on the battlefield of thoughts. We learned about different gateways of the soul, and there's 7 different gateways in the soul. One of them is your conscience, your will, your choices. Those are gateways, and what's going into those gateways? What are you thinking about all the time? And those thoughts are actually empowering forces around you to take root inside your heart. So what's on your mind? What are you thinking about? Because that stuff's going down into you and manifesting through you, whether you realize it or not. Bad arguments must be tracked down and brought into captivity to the lordship of Christ, because thoughts and ideas capture minds and create worldviews. Mindless Christianity will be heartless Christianity, and heartless Christianity is deadly. Now, heart part deliverance. This is going to tie into mindsets and expectations that people have inside of them. They hold on to these viewpoints, and we're going to show exactly how you minister to a heart part that is broken and how to convince that heart part to leave with Jesus. So go ahead and play that audio clip.
They want to talk to the alternate personality that holds on to all the suppressed anger.
I was waiting for that.
God has shown and revealed to us that you have an entitlement to be angry. And God is validating your entitlement to that anger. Clearly the things that happened to you were ridiculous and should have never happened, ever.
We're ministering to a heart part that's surfaced
right now. Violations of trust left and right. People that should have loved you.
Nobody did. Nobody did. Nobody loved me. And I was good. I was really, really good. I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
And you see, that's the pain surfacing in that heart part. Hear the mindset, the beliefs that it holds on to?
That is the identity of shame that it wants you to have. The reason that bad things happen to good people is because demons have a legal right to operate through sin against, unfortunately, the children. But God has made a way in His Word that we may repent, receive forgiveness, command the demons to leave, live righteous, holy lives, and have authority over the enemy to remove him from our lives so that he does not pass down into our children. And this is where, quite frankly, your family and previous generations have failed in this area. They allowed sin to exist in their lives. And because of this, it was demons in the people that influenced them to do the horrible things they did, so that Satan could destroy the God in you. Because Satan knew the moment you were born what God wanted to do with you. He saw the plan and purposes God had for your life. Satan saw how you would tear down
the truth is being ministered.
Said, no, I have to get her when she's young. I have to destroy her immediately. It's
and
the
a spirit manifested trying to get us to stop.
The truth breaks every stronghold of Satan. The truth of God's love prevails. She is alive. The fire of God is inside of her. The Holy Spirit is inside of her. And this now is the pivotal turning point where she will be cleaned up by God and used by the power of God to tear down and destroy the enemy's camp. And that is why people have constantly, the demons in the people have constantly been coming against her, attacking her, tormenting her, all manner of evil lavished upon her to destroy her so that God would not be able to use her. But Satan, you failed. You failed. We remove that identity of shame that you've tried to place on her, trying to make her feel and think like it's her fault, that there's something wrong with her. There is nothing wrong with this beautiful creation that God has made. There's nothing wrong with this child of God. She's covered in the blood of Jesus, sanctified, justified, before the foundation of the world. And you can't stop her from moving forward. So we ask that altar that holds all that suppressed anger to receive the revelation of Christ into your being, to understand this is why these things happened to you. It was not your fault. The enemy tried to destroy you so that you wouldn't step into your destiny that God has for you. Be mad at the enemy. He did this to me. And release those emotions to the Lord Jesus. You're entitled to be angry, but you're not entitled to hold on to that anger. Because it will build, it will fester, it will consume you from within. You must release that suppressed anger to the Lord Jesus.
At this point, the heart part is ready to receive Christ. And the spirit manifests trying to stop that from happening.
Is trying to show
that's right.
Face right now,
you cut your heads off and command you to go down to torment.
Right now, in the name of Jesus.
So we have to bind that spirit for now until that heart part leaves, and then we can get that spirit out.
Let go of the altar, and you can't control her anymore. Go down into torment like you were told by the man of God right now in the name.
Right.
And as you're allowing to be healed, you will be integrated right back into continue to help her go through life without all the extra anger.
It's not saying that all that stuff is okay.
That's right.
Because it was still wrong. The Word of God says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord.
It's a joke that I come to the table right here. I can tell you. You can go with him. He's going to take you to Jesus. He's going to go to the big place. And if you're going to come back, and you're going to bring with you back.
And at this point, the heart part lets go of the emotions and goes to Jesus. And you could see the relief in her face. You could feel the release. And then after that, we go and start attacking that demon.
Itself to get itself all the way back
that's
up
right
now. And the mighty name of Jesus.
You're in trouble now with God.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Get all the way out of her.
Then we go right into casting out that spirit that was behind that woundedness, behind that hurt. Now in this clip, we see how the heart part surfaced with wounds of the past, the experiences of pain, and the mindsets that were developed because of that pain, and the expectation of its fault and wrongdoing being the source of its torment. It was constantly saying, it has to be my fault, because it keeps happening. It was my fault. I did something wrong. That's an identity of shame that that thing is holding on to, and it has to be ministered to let go of that. It has to understand and process truth to break down those thinking patterns and processes. It vocalized its beliefs and gave away its mindsets and thought patterns and thinking processes. When we began to minister to this heart part and its beliefs, the pain surfaced and we addressed the roots of that pain with the truth. Once the strongholds in the mind and the lives of the enemy were broken down with the truth, the spirit behind this heart part surfaced and told us to shut up. We bound that spirit and threw it down into torment, because we have to get this heart part and its mindsets, beliefs, and expectations out of the way first. It is the key to keeping the spirit inside. Essentially, this fragment of heart is believing these lies of the enemy and is giving the demonic spirits a legal right to stay inside that person. This legal right has to be removed by unbelieving these lies and receiving the truth. As we pressed forward, this heart part and many mindsets received the truth and were released from bondage. And then we went back and addressed the demonic spirits that were behind this that tried to interfere with the truth of God's word. When it comes to self-deliverance, we have to ask ourselves, what is our expectations? When it comes to any deliverance, really, we have to ask ourselves that question. What mindsets do we have that have been formed because of years of influence or negative emotions? There are things the Holy Spirit can show us if we have an open heart to receive correction and discipline. Many people are not expecting anything when they come to church. Some people expect to stay out of trouble just because they showed up to church. Now, this is the problem with the body. There is no expectation of lasting change that goes with them everywhere they go. These altar calls that God does are supposed to be lasting things. They are lasting things, but we don't believe that they are. We might believe they are for the night, and then we go home and a couple days goes by and we're not in church, and then it disappears, it fades away, because it was in our head. And I really believe that a large portion of the body of Christ looks at the anointing or the Spirit of God or church as a drug. They come in, they're praising and hallelujahing and all that stuff, but they just want an anointing fix. They want that euphoric feel good in God's presence and then go home and then go right back into the same repetitive patterns and behaviors. There's no change taking place. God wants to. The fullness of that change is right there. It's not a problem on God's end. It's a problem on our end. And it has everything to do with what we're expecting, what we're believing, and what we're thinking about. The power of thoughts, beliefs, and expectations literally births and nurtures revival, or it kills it totally. The power of thoughts, beliefs, and expectations literally births and nurtures revival, or it kills it totally for the individual. This is why God admonishes us to read, study, and apply His Word to our lives so that, among many other things, it can renew and transform our minds. Romans 12, verse 2. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if your mind's being renewed, you're supposed to be transformed. So if you're not transforming, then it means your mind is not being renewed. When our mind is transformed by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, we begin to line our thoughts, beliefs, mindsets, and expectations up to God's standards, and that is when things fall into place. It's not going to fall into place any other way than us giving ourselves over to God and lining up with what He wants for us, and then things start to fall into place. Now, destructive mindsets. We experienced a deliverance session where God was moving mightily in dealing with many demonic spirits and tainted heart parts with a young woman. And the spirit was flowing for about an hour. Then, when it came time to address the spirit of unforgiveness and how a part of her was holding on to bitterness, she refused to forgive the offenders and chose to harbor that bitterness. For whatever reason, she wasn't ready or didn't want to release those people from what had happened to her. And just then, the Spirit of God had lifted and departed, and the session was over. God wanted and desired to do more, but that person's choice had overruled what was made available to them. So you can't do self-deliverance or do deliverance on somebody else or have deliverance done on you and just expect, well, God's going to do absolutely everything to the fullest, no matter what. He wants to, and that's available, but are we really receiving what God is saying to us? Are we really receiving what another deliverance minister is saying to us? That, hey, the Holy Spirit showed me this particular thing is in there, or God showed me this is something you're doing in your life that needs to change. If you're not receiving that, you're cutting off your own freedom. It's not all or nothing. There's like a gauge from 0% to 100%, and the more that you shut down and don't receive, you're moving that slider bar down to about 10% freedom, maybe 20% freedom, depending on how much you're actually willing to receive. Sometimes that's why the same person keeps coming in over and over again, and their progress is very little at a time, because there's a mindset, there's an expectation or a belief system that is stopping the fullness of the growth that God wants to give them. This occurs frequently enough in various situations that it is alarming. And no one can blame God and be right about it, because the measure of freedom we receive is based upon our expectancy and openness of heart. If you really want to be set free, you can be set free if you really want it, and you'll work for it too. The measure of freedom that we retain is dependent on how much we change our lifestyles and habits and work diligently to transform our mindsets into godly structures. On the upside, we have seen people totally humbled before God come in and have an expectation of freedom, and they receive every part of it. We have had people burst into tears praising God, and the Spirit just enters in and fills the place. And three times, Jesus Himself has come into the sanctuary, and everybody immediately burst into tears because of the power of His presence. We were immobilized and glued to the chairs or on the floor while Jesus inhabited their praise and adoration and worship of Him. Negative mindsets are usually based and rooted in coping mechanisms where pain and negative influence has created a set of assumptions and attitudes that become the standard rule. In other words, and I'll give an example. An example would be a child that is hurt and tormented. Their negative mindsets are rooted in the pain of the events and how the brain had to cope with those situations and emotions. The negative mindsets, which are an accumulation of attitudes and assumptions, become the standard defense mechanism and measuring system of everyone around them. In other words, these mindsets tell the child, everyone is the enemy, everyone will abuse me at one point or another, and you're just like all the others and you don't love me. These are common coping and defense mechanisms that are rooted in the trauma that they've suffered. To the wounded child, these things are truth and are validated by experiences of the past. It's actually very difficult to convince them that that's not what's going on, because it's part of their belief system. And they're afraid to unbelieve that because in their minds it exposes them again to be vulnerable. And that opens the door for fear. So it's very tricky trying to minister through that, but the Holy Spirit can tell you how to do that. Now, if the child is not healed of these wounds and mindsets, heart parts, spirits, etc., then this serves as the foundation of a non-functional adult. We've seen this in a lot of sessions. The untreated adult will hold on to the same beliefs as the inner wounded child, in addition to other fragmented parts that occurred later in life. What you have then is an adult that has never grown up, is stuck in a child's mind and perspective, and it is closed off and shut down to reality. Demons work together with these mindsets and beliefs to cause doubt and unbelief, which essentially blocks what God desires to do in many of our lives. So going back, you have a person who's wounded as a child and it's never dealt with correctly, spiritually. And then they grow up to be an older person, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever, and they still have all those inner heart parts and woundedness and mindsets. And they're basically an adult that can't function as an adult. They're basically a walking inner child that throws temper tantrums as an adult. And people look and be like, wow, what's going on there? It's all this brokenness that's not dealt with. And unfortunately, there's so many demons that come in, again, assuming that this hasn't been dealt with, so many demons come in to compound the issue that you have a real situation on your hands. And God has to deal with those inner child broken pieces that are holding on to that pain. But see, then again, the person has to be willing for that to be dealt with. They have to be willing to go back and address those issues and confront them and then deal with them. And only then can those spirits come out. In James chapter 1, verses 7 through 8, it says, "For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." In other words, if you are double-minded, which is fragmentation of soul, and one mindset wars against another, the flesh still being alive, causing doubt and confusion, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Because what's happening is you have something in you that's part of you that is arguing against God's word, his character, his nature, his principles, his precepts, and you're constantly in doubt. Or you're constantly in this war with, well, I do want to sin today, but right now it's not a good time. Kind of don't want to pay the price just yet, so I'll just wait till tomorrow or when the opportunity comes up. You're thinking about all this kind of stuff. You're not showing any restraint. Don't expect to receive anything from God because you're still not sold out. It's not just a matter of, oh, I'm, you know, struggling with demons. There's a part of you that's willing and wants to do this stuff. Don't expect to receive anything from God. You have to show that your heart's in the right place and you're willing. Now, the way to correct these problems is to practice self-deliverance and attend team-based deliverance sessions to deal with any negative mindsets until you are in a level of freedom that you can stand on your own two feet. It took me the better part of 4 years' deliverance to be able to just stand on my own 2 feet. And even then, I still need support from others around me. And it's hard to do self-deliverance from mindsets because to you, you believe in that thing. It's part of your belief system. So if you hear a voice say, well, that's wrong, you shouldn't do that. Initially, we're like, well, get behind me, Satan. See, the Pharisees thought they were doing a wonderful job. They believed in what they were doing, but they were wrong. And when they were, you know, attempts were made to correct them or show them this is what you're doing wrong, they retaliated. So you really need a team that's working with the Spirit of God and be able to submit to God in that type of environment and just be open to say, okay, you know what, maybe that thing that I've believed all these years is not necessarily true. Maybe there's a problem with my thinking. And be open to that. Self-deliverance in the area of mindsets requires a lot of self-evaluation and humility to receive from others around us. Because we believe in what we think and how we respond, it is difficult to identify these areas as damaging or destructive. It requires the Holy Spirit truth to reveal such things. And once they are revealed, we have to swallow that big, uncomfortable pill and accept the change within ourselves. Going back to the example we used earlier about the couple, I had to tell the one person that they need to stop pursuing their partner with their own expectations and ask God for His expectations for that person. I explained that maybe their expectations for that person and thinking they should have totally changed in one deliverance session could be flawed and destructive thinking. I admonished them to think love-based and seek God for His heart concerning that person. That is when the big uncomfortable pill was given them, and I could tell they didn't like it because the conversation ended shortly after that. Now, if self-deliverance is going to be successful, this area of mindsets and thoughts has to be cleaned up. This is why so many people are not going to make it. Because the mind is programmed to go off course. They believe that they're doing something that's not right. They believe they're in a position or in right standing with God when they're not. And anytime somebody comes to correct them or tell them, hey, this is going on in your life, they shun that person. Even if they don't shun it, oh, okay, I hear you, I'll work on that. And then they go back and they don't work on it. They still continue in that sin. It's the same thing. They're off course. And the mind is messed up, the thinking's messed up, and they're not open to receive, hey, your thinking's messed up. And that's why there's such a huge problem in the body of Christ, among other things. Now, if a person is not expecting God to move, or is giving the enemy power because of their fears and expectations, then they will end up relinquishing any freedom God gives them over to the enemy. We've had people come in here and say, I just want to see what God does. And then there's been people that literally live in fear of what the enemy could potentially do to them, and it binds them right up. And you can get the spirit of fear out, but they still have a habit of living in fear. And that mindset has to be broken too. This is an epidemic in the body of Christ. There has to be a true fire in the heart of a person to desire and believe for the things of God. There has to be a belief that God's word is real, just like the way it is, and it is alive and should be expected to work and have power over the enemy. It has to be, you know that you know. There's no doubt. The word of God is real. It has power, and it can destroy the enemy at every turn. We have to actually believe that. And I'm not up here saying I have all this together. I don't. But this is something that God's bringing forth for the body in general. And I'm learning from this too. I'm getting spanked also as I'm teaching it. Now, mindsets, beliefs, thought patterns, attitudes, and habits should be based on God's word and lined up with His precepts, principles, character, and nature. Doubt is the ultimate destroyer, and so many people fall short and don't reach the fullness that God wanted them to reach because of it. And sadly, many of these people blame God somehow for his promises not coming to pass. God promised me our home. Well, I'm sorry, God promised it to you. But anyways, God promised our home to have it in 2012. And I know he wanted to give it to us back then. But that's not God's fault that we don't have it now, because we were in disobedience. There were things that we missed along the way. And so I tell people God's like a GPS. If you miss your turn, he has to recalculate and take you the other way. I wish U-turns was activated, but you can't do that. So you may miss your turn, but God will recalculate a different path. And you may still get the promise. You know, he's always saying my promises are still yes and amen. So it's just going to take longer, and you're going to have to go through more things, but he'll still take you to your destination. Okay, but in reality, the problem exists within the mind and the thought structures of a person. That's what's getting us off course. Now, this is a true spiritual condition known as PEBCAB. All right, the problem exists between chair and Bible. It's a spiritual illness. Okay, that's us. We're sitting between the chair and the Bible. That's where the problem is. We need God's anointing and wisdom to help us dismantle our old and destructive mindsets. This is not something we can do on our own. Sometimes mindsets can be removed and restored by receiving truth. And other times it requires the healing and restoration of heart parts in addition to the casting out of demonic spirits before a renewed, healthy mindset can be set in place. In other words, if you just drop in a brand new healthy mindset, but you still have that brokenness inside, you still have those demons in there, they're going to attack that healthy mindset and they're going to make it sick. And then it's not going to be a healthy mindset anymore. So you have to deal with the roots and work your way up, like how you're weeding a garden. Because there are so many variables and each situation is unique, we must seek God for the answers and attend regular deliverance to identify harmful or negative mindsets. I felt, like I said, I tried to put several different teachings together about new things that we're seeing, but this is all that would really come out, is dealing with how we're thinking, what we're expecting, and what are we really believing in. And to understand that we are actually tying up God's hands from moving in our lives because of how we're thinking and what we're believing. And it's very critical and important that we understand we have to identify these mindsets. And we can't be going on, I already know all this stuff. You know, God speaks to me all the time. Well, that's wonderful. But there's more to it than that. God might be testing your humility to see, you know, how are you going to respond around these people? And the other problem is that there's some people in this church that are going out there and they're trying to minister to people in the world. But what you're really doing is you're beating them over the head with the word of God. You're trying to shove the gospel down their throat. And God's upset with that, and you need to stop it because you're driving people away from Christ. You need to be quiet and let the love of Christ show through you. And then when that person's touched by the love of Christ and his anointing that by God's grace is inside of you, and then they'll come to you and say, what's different about you? Then you can minister some truth to them. So whoever's doing that, you need to stop because God's getting upset with that. So what are you expecting God to do for you? Are you limiting God by what you believe and how you expect to receive it? See, we have an expectation of how we're going to receive things from God. And maybe God doesn't want to give it to us that way. He wants to do it another way. And we have to be open to receive however God wants to give what he wants to give. And once again, our mindsets can tie God's hands from giving us the things he wants to give us in the timing that he wants to give them in. So the altar call tonight is, don't come up here expecting what God can give you. What are you going to give to God tonight? Are you going to surrender the mindsets? Even if you don't know what they are and you're not aware of them, are you willing at least to surrender those faulty thinking processes to God and give those things to God at the altar tonight and watch God deposit a new mindset inside of you. And this is a process. This is not an instant thing. God, by His Holy Spirit, will work with your mind and deposit new healthy frameworks inside your thinking process. And you can build, grow, and develop those things with Him every day on a committed basis. So if you would like to do that and have clear thinking, peace, and soundness of mind, please come up to the altar and surrender those things to God. Father, we just thank You right now. Just give You all honor and glory. Thank You, God, for Your anointing that's on the message. Thank You for Your anointing that's here. And we just give You all honor and glory, Father, for how You're touching Your people. And we just thank You, God. We understand the seriousness of the hour. And we just pray and ask, God, that You would please move upon us as we humble ourselves before You, as we repent before You for thoughts that are not lined up with Your word. Please touch us, God. Touch us deeply in the very core of our heart. And we surrender and give You absolutely everything. Unconditional surrender. We give it to You right now, Lord. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.